This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, great to have you with us. Built Ford Tough Studio, Boomer and Geo program, 8:04 on this Friday. I know you had something for me before.
Yeah, I do have something locally here to talk about because it does affect all of us sports fans, and it also will affect commuters, New Jersey commuters, Long Island commuters, because there has now been another plan that has been unveiled to redo Penn Station.
Mm-hmm. I did see that.
And there's a big push now to try to get this thing done. And it's going to cost a lot of money to get it done. And in this latest plan by ASTM North America rivals the plan put forth by the MTA. And ASTM North America says this particular plan would cost less, $1 billion less than the MTA. And if I had to ask you, Jerry, the worst agency in the history of any political state in this country is what?
Well, I mean, given this conversation, my guess is you're going to say the MTA.
Yeah, it's a black hole of bureaucracy and corruption and all sorts of crap. You know, and it's the congestion pricing fee and everything else that goes into it. And, you know, the fight between the federal government now and the state government and everything else that's going on. So this plan released by ASTM actually takes Madison Square Garden and moves it.
Really? To where? Does it say?
Yeah, it moves it over to where the old Pennsylvania Hotel was, which is right across the street. Yep. So I don't know how this would connect to the train hall. And, you know, and you have a lot of entities here. You have civic leaders in that part of the city. You have the governor, you have the mayor, whoever the mayor is going to be. Of course, you have the federal government because there's going to have to be federal tax dollars put into this. And you have a plan that was put forth by ASTM North America that they claim is $1 billion cheaper than that of the MTA.
Well, let's do that then.
That's what I said. I looked at this plan. Now, listen, I'm not an architect. I'm just a regular citizen who pays taxes. And I looked at this and I'm like, you know what? This plan makes a lot of sense to me. And the way that they have this thing drawn up and drawn out, it would be amazing. But there's controversy because moving Madison Square Garden is not going to be easy. The Dolan family is not going to go for that unless they are paid to do that, and maybe they're able to keep some of their tax breaks in perpetuity. There's all this negotiation going on. Here's the one thing I will say from the federal level. I think, you know, Donald Trump wants to be remembered as a great president. That's why I believe that. I believe that he wants to do big things, big projects, and he wants to be remembered. And he loves the city of New York, regardless of what happened to him here in the court system. Whatever. You can say whatever you want about it. But I believe that you would get backing from the federal government in regard to redoing this in this model. And I am all in favor of this model. This model looks unbelievable, and it would be a great thing for Penn Station, and you know, because Penn Station was ruined when they put Madison Square Garden on top of it.
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be a glorious place where mass amounts of people go through, 600,000 people a day go through Penn Station. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. I've been there when it's busy. I've seen it.
And we're still paying congestion pricing.
Which, you know, I came into the city 2 weeks ago. And, I don't look at my Easy Pass bill every day. But I do know the one benefit we do get with our hours is the tunnel is a little bit less than if you're driving during the day. And even as nauseating as this congestion pricing is, it is significantly less when you come in the middle of the night like we do. But still, it still costs me $400 more than that, actually, a month in tolls. I know Al said he's at $510 a month or something in tolls. I mean, it's insane what we pay just to come to work.
$510 in tolls to come and go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can't, where you live, you can't take public transportation.
Yeah, no, like NJ Transit doesn't run in the middle of the night.
We'd have to take the, for me, I think the last train out would be at like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's the same thing for us on Long Island. You know, the railroad isn't working at that time.
And how about the fact he gets hit twice in 1 month?
How's that?
You know, I'm saying, they auto-renew your Easy Pass. Sometimes they hit me at the start of the month and the end. It's like this last credit card statement I got, I had $1,000, $1,050 in Easy Pass.
Think about that. It cost you $1,100 more a year to come into the city now? Or is that just, it's not more a year.
That was one month. Yeah.
Yeah, but
you're saying with the congestion pricing, how much more is it?
Yeah,
I think it's like $50 more a month. So
$50 more a month. So it's about $1,000. Right?
It's a lot. It's 600.
$600. $600.
My point is, I was coming in during regular hours last weekend with my wife, and you put the directions to the hotel, and we were going into the Google Maps, and it gives you what the tolls are depending upon the route you go, and it spit out $32.90. I'm like, what? And I forgot about the overnight differential for the tunnel. So the tunnel cost me $18. I forgot about the overnight differential for the stupid congestion pricing. Mm-hmm. So that was $9. The turnpike was $5. I think it was actually more than that. It might have been $34 just to come in. But it's insane.
It is insane. But in order to get this Penn Station rebuilt the way they need to get it rebuilt, they need people that are big thinkers. They need people that can see the future and what this thing looks like, and say whatever you want to say about, you know, Governor Cuomo when he was in office. Ugh. But what he did with LaGuardia Airport and what they're doing, the JFK Airport, that's all because of his state leadership at that point doing those development projects.
JFK looks good, by the way. Well, very good.
LaGuardia is ridiculous.
I have not been there yet. LaGuardia is the one place I just don't like going to because the parking's weird and it's
yeah. But that airport is now finally.
Is it done finally?
Yes, and it is. It is an awesome airport to fly out of. The biggest problem there is you only have two runways.
For real.
Yeah,
and all those flights, two runways.
Yeah,
boy,
that's why you can get a little congested.
That is amazing. They
should charge congestion pricing there.
Oh God, I will tell you, flying back and forth to Indy this week.
Yep.
The smoothest two flights I think I've had in my life. The takeoff, the landing, and I was looking for UFOs. I will tell you that.
Right.
And there was one, I swear to God, I was going to take, I thought for sure I saw something weird coming at us, and it turned out to be a reflection. It was not what I thought it was. Jesus. But I was, for a quick moment, I was like, what is this? What? And Al's in my head. Like, I'm on a plane over God knows where, on my way from Newark to Indianapolis, and I'm thinking of this guy because I thought like UFOs were coming at us. Wasn't that, but I do look now. Every time I'm up there, I'm looking for something.
I told you, when I went to San Antonio, I left here at 10 o'clock and got to my gate at 10:40, A17 at Newark.
Yeah, really convenient.
Terminal A over there is great, and United was on time. Everybody was on time. Coming back was on time, and then going to the DR out of JFK on American.
Mm-hmm.
That was on time. Everything was on time. Everything was smooth.
The amazing
Can't
thing
complain.
To me.
And I hate not being able to complain.
We talk about this in the podcast a lot. Like, the amazing thing to me about air travel is when it goes good, and you have a situation where you leave here, you get there, you park, there's no line at the security, you walk in, the flight's on time, you land sometimes even early. There's nothing better. And I'm like, why do we not do this more? But boy, when you have those times where you show up and you see delayed, 2 hours, 3 hours.
Weather. It's usually weather, or if there's some sort of mechanical issue.
But there, yes, and there have been times for me, like when we went to Texas last year, the day before, they just canceled my flight.
And that was not a charter. That was...
No, that was just a trip we took. Nothing to do with Rutgers. That was, you 24 hours before your flight, you can check in for your flight and make sure everything's good. So you get the alert, hey, 24 hours. So instead of the 24-hour alert that we were going to check in, I got the 24-hour alert that, hey... Sorry to tell you, but your flight's canceled tomorrow. But good news, we booked you on this flight. So instead of landing at 11 a.m. where we were going, you'll be landing at 11 p.m. because you're going to have a seven-hour layover in Charleston.
Oh, boy.
Which, at that point, what are you supposed to do? That's part of your trip. It is what it is. But when you have good flights, it makes you think, like, this is really fun and easy.
I've been lucky. I've had nothing but good flights lately. So I've been very, very lucky in that regard. The other interesting thing about this whole new plan with Penn Station and potentially moving Madison Square Garden... I wonder if they build a new garden, do they replicate what they have
now? You have to.
Because it has the ceiling and it's on the fifth floor, or do they redo it totally and make it actually a rectangle or a square?
I think that's a good question, but I think when you listen to opposing players for years and years and years, they talk about the mystique of the place, great crowd, the feel of the building.
Yes.
If I was going to move the garden, and I wouldn't, but if I was going to, I would have a complete replication of what it is, but...
Bigger,
have
all but bigger.
The, you can make it bigger.
You gotta make it like Yankee Stadium.
But I want the same lighting. But I think Yankee Stadium is gorgeous, but... It's too big.
I know. The old school Yankee fan loves the old Yankee Stadium because it would shake and would rock and roll.
Yes.
And had all that history.
And the new one
is
beautiful.
But the new
beautiful.
One. But I'm telling you, this garden, it's so compact. As a fan, it doesn't compare to UBS, which I think is a great building. Even the Prudential Center's a great sight lines for
absolutely,
hockey.
Absolutely, no doubt.
I mean, I know that the garden is iconic. I understand that, and I'm sure that's going to be the argument that the Dolans and MSG would be making. But man, I'll tell you what: if you could upgrade that garden and let Jim Dolan do it the way that he would want to do it internally, with a sound aspect of it, like he has out there in Vegas with the sphere.
Yep.
I mean, it could be unbelievable.
Fact of the matter is, any building, if you win, it's going to be great. But if you can do it and change it and yet have it still look the way you want it to look, then I think that's a win-win.
I always
thought,
Ben, you know what? You said you went to the Peak Restaurant, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Great.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal place, right over there in Hudson Yards.
Yeah.
You know where, they have that... the Hudson Yards, they had that train yard at the end of Hudson Yards. You see it there. It's just a blight. You look out the windows, you see the trains. They should put the garden there.
Is there enough room?
And the trains are underneath it. I don't know. I'm assuming there would be.
I don't know that there's enough room.
Get Stephen Ross on it. He'll get it.
Get him on it.
He's a big thinker.
Real quick, before we take a break.
Yes.
Have you ever thought, this question is something I think of all the time, when we talk about the MTA and you talk about the toll prices, what point do we get to where it actually is too much?
We've been at that point for a long time.
Yet we still come to work every day.
What I don't get is the tolls were supposed to be to pay off the bridges and the tunnels.
Yeah, same thing for the parkway and the turnpike.
Exactly.
Right.
But they continue and they get raised every year, and so does the cost to get onto the subway.
Okay.
So there's a number of reasons for that, and I think they're one of the reasons is obviously upkeep and salaries and whatever liabilities they have, but the long term liabilities are the pension benefits.
Fine, I'm talking about,
and they all have to be met.
And those are the reasons why they continue to charge us.
They have to be met by law.
I never thought in my lifetime I would see a toll that's going to cost $20. And the Verrazano Bridge is essentially that, paying it both ways now. All jokes aside, 5 years from now, if I told you the toll at the Holland Tunnel was $30, would you be shocked? I would have been, but now. I don't think so.
Yeah, I just think there's just so much. Again, we're seeing this at the federal level now. I wish they would do it at the state level. There's so much waste and fraud and abuse. Like, you think about the Long Island Railroad, and you think about all of those people that were claiming that they had disabilities when they were retiring, because everybody before them went and decided to apply for disability, and they got it when they didn't deserve it. And then who's paying for that?
We are.
We as the taxpayers, which they are too, but then most of those people end up leaving the state anyway.
And retiring somewhere else.
And retiring somewhere else and doing something that they probably couldn't do if they actually did have the disability that they claim that they have. I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm just saying it's a big swath of people that have proven to be fraudulent when applying for disability. So you know the fraud is in the system. The question is finding it, stopping it, and holding people accountable who actually are doing it.
Fraud.
Like, exactly.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hey, 25 after 8. What is going on? It is the morning show, Boomer and Geo. G's out. He's in Florida hitting some golf balls this weekend, then with the family next week. So we will sit in. And while I sit in for him, sitting in for me is one Christopher Lopresti. I told Boomer they were talking about all these things they're doing for the bike tour. Al's got the Bradley Brew Project on April 25th, Friday. Yes. Boomer's got an event next Saturday.
I have mine next Saturday at the Tap Room in Huntington with Sean Mirage and Brian Roscoe and a couple other friends of mine showing up. And then we also have Allie down at the Nutty Irishman.
Sure.
And so I told him that
we're working on something. Pat Boyle and I are working on something in Jersey, and we're going to do probably something in Staten Island as well.
Good. I hope so. I want to see that Staten Island thing happen.
Jerry, tell me what you think of this. Waiting for the weather to get a little nicer. But I thought, like, if I just show up at the county courses down by us, Monmouth County, and do like a 50-50 almost. Just be like, tell the course.
You're going to stand in the parking lot and sell 50-50s? I don't know if it's allowed.
I'm going to ask. I mean, I'm not going to just show up. I'm going to ask the people that work there.
Like
and
CeeLo's
say,
lemonade stand, but well, your 50-50 stand.
Like not out on the golf course. Come on, to interrupt people's rounds. Maybe like at the off the putting green and say, look.
Off the putting green.
50-50. Give like, 10% cut to the course. They get a little extra scratch.
Okay.
All the money goes towards the fundraising.
Love to see it.
And Jerry,
think that would work or no?
No.
Why not?
I mean, it might. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to let you do that.
Why wouldn't they?
I think you'd have to go to,
What about this? I show up there, I'll sell packs of cigarettes.
You can sell the warm-up show candy cigarettes.
That'd be a good idea.
I think you probably have a better chance at a private club. I don't know if they are allowed to do that, but if they are, why not ask?
Yeah, I'm going to ask.
One of the benefits of you being out with Rutgers gives us a chance to just actually attack CeeLo when he sits in his seat over here.
Yes.
Okay.
So, that Friday that you were out and CeeLo was in here, G asked me for an update for the amount of money that he had raised. And at that point, he had raised $75 a week ago.
Which was his entry fee.
Right.
It's a couple weeks ago now. But
Is it a couple weeks now?
I think so.
It was a Friday. I thought it was Friday last week.
No, I think it was
2 weeks ago. Yeah. So he had $75. He was last in the fundraising.
I just registered. That's why.
Yeah, because you know why? He was procrastinating.
I understand.
And he was getting complacent.
And he was still putting his team together.
You should have heard all the excuses that he was giving us. So here we sit
Two weeks later.
And the kindness of almost all of our listeners.
Yes.
Just amazing people out there have raised him $9,229 up to this point.
We're doing well.
Absolutely amazing.
And that is incredible.
There have been a couple of times over the years where our listeners have blown me away. Number one, when that woman was having her issues in northern New Jersey
and the
cops went and helped her and people were pouring in with support. That was incredible to me.
Yep.
And when you and Boomer decided to play at the golf tournament.
You and Boomer.
I am Boomer.
Yes.
Wow. We knew it.
And Geo agreed to play golf at the golf tournament and raffled off the twosome. Keith came in, with that monster bid.
Yeah, Keith Hannon, yes.
And that was after there were several really nice bids.
It's true.
And then Keith blew them away. I mean, it's remarkable.
Do you remember the year that right around Thanksgiving, somebody from East Islip called me and they had told me that there was a woman who was working at Home Depot whose mom was very ill.
Yes, I do remember this.
And she was on the spectrum. And she only knew her house and only knew how to get from her house to the bus station to the Home Depot. And we needed about $150,000, I think it was. And we raised it.
This was about 10 years ago, I would say.
Yes.
8 to 10 years ago. I do remember that.
That's why this radio station is so great. And that's why the listeners of this radio station are so great. And, I don't care if you hate me because you're a Devils fan or you're a Yankees fan and you think I take shots at you or you think at the end of the day, we all rally around these different things and they come through.
Pretty good. So,
Want to raffle off a twosome, me and you?
For what?
Golf.
Sure. I will do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool.
That we're making more money,
Boomer. Add it to the list.
Making more money. He's
finally growing up and learning.
He's 40. I mean, growing up.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, the maturity I have seen in the last 2 weeks from this young man.
Yeah.
Young man.
I mean, he is
basically he the leader in the clubhouse now?
No, he's not. Third. Jerry Cahill overtook the lead now.
Okay, but third. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Third out of how many, would you say?
Off and running.
Yeah.
How many teams? Third out of how many? Like 20 teams?
At least 20 teams.
At least 20 teams. So you're knocking it out of the park, as
they
say.
We're doing a good job.
With a lot of help.
Yes. I'll get you on the phone with Anthony today, by the way.
Very good.
Cool.
Shall we begin?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. I'm going to start with hoops this hour because I want to get to Jim Dolan with Brunson and Josh Hart on the roommate show. Quickly, the Nets lost to the Bulls in Chicago.
I actually 116-110. I texted Carino and Capstra last
night. Did you really?
I did.
What'd you have to say to them?
I was listening to them driving home from Rutgers when we got back, and it was middle of the second quarter and over into halftime. So I listened for the full 30 minutes coming back. They were talking about Ferris Bueller's day off. It was a game too, by the way. And they were talking about Fordham, everything. And they kept referencing the fact that they're just trying to entertain people. So when I got home, I said, guys, I was entertained for 30 minutes.
There you go.
So
the big Net fan that you are.
Well, I was listening.
Very nice. So they did lose. The Knicks were off again. They're off again tonight to finish up their road trip tomorrow night against Steph Curry and the Warriors, who will be coming off of this.
Curry one-on-one. He loses the ball. Deflected away. Picked up by Moody. Back to Curry. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball on the way. Number 4,000 for Stephen Curry. The undisputed author of the three-point rule book and the three-point record book. Has added another chapter to his tome.
Do you think we'll ever see anybody surpass that or no?
Yeah, we will.
Oh, come on.
I mean, we're
that's all they shoot now.
I know, but he's...
We are getting ready to see Wayne Gretzky's record breaking.
Yes, that's broken. True. And I never thought that would happen. But do you see, even like... And it's funny you bring that up, because when I ran to the bathroom, one of the TVs, I saw, I don't know if it was FS1 or ESPN, but one of them, they said, coming up, you know, are they shooting too many threes in the NBA? And the numbers are, I mean... I said to you last week, the one Celtic game, there were 95 three-pointer shots.
Yeah, the games stink. The games stink because of it.
And yet...
Nobody does it like him.
And I agree. That's the beauty, and what you love and hate about him is what he has changed the game, but he does it to a level no one else does it to, and these teams that can't do it just keep firing them up and hoisting brick after brick.
The only one that does it like him is Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
That's true, too. I would agree.
She'll take two steps over half court and shoot it.
And make it.
Speaking of just hoisting them up, you're a big college basketball guy, especially this time of year. Did you catch the box score from Gonzaga's conference final game? I think they were 1 for 15 from 3, and the team they played, maybe St. Mary's, was 0 for 16.
Oh, that's a great game.
They were
game
1
to watch.
For 31 combined.
And they just keep shooting.
it's like St. John's. That's how they shoot. And by the way, is Rutgers going to that Fakakta thing out there in Vegas or what?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Got to make travel pay. I don't know. As of now, I don't know.
What is the Fakakta tournament's name? What is it?
College Basketball Crown.
College Basketball Crown.
He's all over this.
And what is this for?
This is a made-up tournament that Fox created.
Okay.
That is March
for losing
31st
teams.
To April 6th. It's supposed to be the next teams from the big conferences with the highest net rankings.
Oh, I see. And if you have a losing record, you can go get the win. And
I don't think
it
matters.
Crown?
I think it all is based on their net ranking.
All right. In your estimation, if Rutgers gets invited to this, they're going to accept the invitation.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they're allowed to.
They'll probably be forced to go play. There's no way that Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper are playing.
I would doubt it. I wouldn't think so. I know they love playing, but I don't. What do you want me to tell you? I don't know. And I will tell you this: with the way Cooper Flagg almost, you know, sawed off his foot yesterday, it also reminds you we're not playing. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. My guess would be I think Sunday I'm going to know.
Right.
I don't know though. I don't know what I don't.
They
know.
Should change that name to the Fakakta tournament.
The Fakakta.
That's what they should name.
Yeah, that was
the Fakakta Crown.
Yeah. Because
you think Cooper Flagg's done now?
No, I don't. I think he's fine.
He's in a wheelchair.
I know he's in a wheelchair, but he was also on the bench afterwards.
So what? With that foot, that ankle is going to like swell up. Like he's going to have a.
Is he going to miss the rest of this tournament?
Yeah, probably.
My guess is probably.
He's not going to play in the NCAA tournament, though.
Yeah.
I think he will.
You guys forget high ankle sprains are like.
I don't think
four
that was a high.
Weeks.
I don't
that
think that's what they classified
sprain.
It as.
That was a common.
To be quite honest sprain. With you, I can't believe his foot's still attached to his leg the way that thing snaps.
See how serious this is?
It happens all the time, though.
That
you see these gruesome things in the
old game right there.
Standard classic inversions for in there.
Last.
I think he will play in the NCAA tournament. I do.
And if he does, he's going to be compromised.
Maybe. Wait, maybe not. I don't know.
You want us to root for him to be compromised?
I don't. I want to see him play.
Him, Boomer.
I want to see him play.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
They have North Carolina tonight, right?
If you say so.
They do. Yes. You're the sports update guy.
Yeah, but we're not locked in on the ACC tournament
and Duke
here.
Duke blasted them just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Eddie, just ask Eddie. Eddie knows everything. He's on. He's
I think
on.
That was Al, actually, that answered.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Al.
Oh, my bad, Al.
College basketball expert.
My mistake.
Al's been sharp this morning. Yeah. He nailed Pat Shurmur within 2 seconds of me trying to figure out his name.
Yeah, I was out there. I was going to run in, but he was on top of
and
that.
He just gave you Duke, North Carolina within a couple of seconds.
And he remembered Mo Cheeks from the Sixers.
Not really.
Yeah, he did.
His question was, did he play on the Sixers?
Well, he just was correct. His just memory confirming. Was correct.
Fair Duke, enough. North Carolina, 7 o'clock on ESPN tonight.
There you go. Very nice. But that'll interrupt if you're trying to watch the Johnnies at 6:30.
Or the Terps.
Well, that's your own thing to deal with. By the way, okay. I'm rooting for Rutgers to get into the FACACTA tournament.
You are.
Then I'll more ships
more
for
work for me.
Oh, okay.
You know?
How it affects you, that's important.
But would that be next week, Jerry?
No, it's March 31st.
Oh, okay.
God. So are these kids still practicing?
If they
How does Steve Peichel keep them up on, like, you know, come on, guys, let's go. We got the FACACTA tournament.
Here's my theory on that. Yeah. Number one, I believe the players have an opportunity to make money if they win.
Oh, of course.
Well, I'm just saying, but that's but that is motivating.
How many people are going to this?
I don't know. And my other point to that would be, without Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, there's another 70 minutes of playing time that guys didn't see as much as they'd like. They got an opportunity.
Well, there's a reason why they didn't play.
Well, because they're not Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper, but they're still pretty good.
And so now they couldn't win with Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. They got to win with these other guys that you're talking about?
Just let the man go to Vegas and play some golf, okay?
This is not, and I don't think I honestly don't know. I've read different things. I don't know that they have a choice. I think it might be in the contract with these conferences. If they're picked, they have to go.
Because the tournament was created by the Big East, the Big Ten, and the Big 12
right.
Along with the TV. So if they get, they'll be forced to go.
I think they have to go.
But will you be broadcasting those games?
I would assume so, yes. I don't know. I'll talk to you Monday. I don't know. You guys are asking me questions. I have no idea. I do not know.
It is very bogus out in the newsroom wanted to know. He was asking me that.
Let me ask you a question.
Know.
Is there any discussion at all after the game the other night? There was no discussion was about like this FACACTA tournament.
It was like a morgue. No.
I'm sure it was. Not,
when that ends the way it ended in double overtime, think about so.
And they were up five with like a minute to go?
Four.
All right.
They were up four with 45 seconds left, I think. Missed a couple of free throws, and then they didn't, and then had a chance, and whatever.
That thing is so far away, the Yankees will be up and running, so you're not going to be on WFAN.
Well, you got the 660. They can split the signal.
Oh, we're going to split the signal.
Well, that's what we do when the Nets are on.
We could always stream you. You're
like St. John's?
Yeah.
Like St. John's isn't on the radio.
I know, but
how come you don't poke fun at them? I'm just curious.
Because you're sitting
St. John's is number six in the country. They stream only on on your phone. You don't seem to mock
them. On the internet.
No, listen. You were one of the first.
I was one of the first.
Do it.
Pioneer.
Yes.
Pioneer.
The Jerry Recco School of Streaming.
By the way, the Devils only stream now.
That doesn't surprise me.
Score! Maddie and Chico all fired up on the stream.
True.
You know?
Yep.
Remember when I said I was going to do the roommate show with Dolan?
Do the roommate show.
Oh, boy.
All right,
so they had Dolan on as a guest. They taped it like 10 days ago or so, but it dropped yesterday. So the other guy on the show, whoever he is. Yeah, what's his...
Matt.
Just a Brunson friend? What's the story?
I'm not sure. I'm very good with them. Though,
all right. So he tees up Brunson on the recent comments from Kendrick Perkins, how they shouldn't be doing this podcast in season and should just be focusing on basketball.
There are much worse things you could be doing than sitting here and talking with you guys about stuff. I just find it funny how, like, we're supposed to just, like, go to the gym, come home, just sit on the couch and just, like, wait for the next day.
Like I said
before, you can't listen to the negatives and then listen to the positives.
That's all Al wants his athletes to do.
Either listen to both or block out both.
I'm not worried.
That's all we need to hear.
All right, so you get the chime in from Dolan there. He was pretty comfortable and casual.
I thought he was great.
He had the Ranger scarf on, which was nice. So he's sitting back enjoying the time. Though it did take him a while to get his thoughts out here.
Is this the Vince Carter one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even hear that one yet.
You didn't hear that one? He forgot his name. It was hilarious.
Oh, all right. I'll have to grab
Very
that.
Very funny. Okay.
I've just been grabbing this in bits and pieces. So here he was asked where the Knicks are at and Leon Rose's plan to compete for a championship.
We're kind of there.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the actually, I think, you know, Cat was the last, was the, sort of the last piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, we're, I mean, I'm not expecting any significant changes.
I promise you, I did not doctor that at all.
He should have just stopped it. Right. We're there.
So I think he realized he was hemming and hawing there. So he looked at Brunson and he was like, well, what do you think? And Brunson was like, well, you put me on the spot.
Oh,
you know,
funny.
Here's what Brunson said. Yes, we have the personnel, but you got to fail on the path to glory.
It's just like, how can we just mesh it? We're meshing. I'm not saying we're not, like, we're so disconnected.
Yeah.
But like, we still got to get closer and have more chemistry and be more together on the court. And that just comes with time.
Just takes time.
It's a shame as last year. They were so injured. It would have been nice. They should have beaten the Pacers if they were healthy. By the way, I'm sure you played the Halliburton shot the other night.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah, yes.
Unbelievable. But my, like, that was a, they were a shell of themselves in that series. And they were, and I believe should have been in the conference finals. So I know what he's saying, but last year's not. I don't know. It stinks when you get hurt like that.
We played the Halliburton shot. I was disappointed, though. I went through the cuts we had from him post-game.
Yeah.
I was hoping we'd get one where the voice changed. With
the
him.
Voice changed. He was on McAfee yesterday.
Yeah.
And did it again on the voice was changing as he's talking.
It's weird.
Constantly.
Post-game, he was fine.
The weird thing about that shot is that Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't touch him.
He also walks. But yes. Not that they're going to call
they
it.
They all walk.
So did Bridges on the three.
Have you ever seen, what's his name, Doncic? He and LeBron are basically the biggest culprits in the NBA walking.
Mm.
I mean, they like triple
Euro step
Euro steps. What I don't know what the hell they even call them anymore.
Oh, that's good. The Euro step. That's right. Yes.
I mean, that's why the game stinks.
Stinks.
Okay.
Get him out of here. You watched a bunch of the things from Roommate Show and Dolan.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where they isolated Cat and the
no. Oh, yeah. With the way
I'll
he chirps and yells.
Hour.
Yes,
and
that's funny.
And then you see the one where Thibodeau called Brunson.
Yes.
On their, okay.
And they gave him the phone.
Yeah, we'll do those
to the owner.
Hour.
Yes, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, so you're done?
Well, I mean, cool.
I'm happy to keep going, but then
that's fine.
That's right. You guys are saying
the same thing every time you sit in that chair.
Same thing?
Happy to keep going. Happy to keep going.
I am. That's what I'm here for.
Well, you're done.
Okay. See you next hour.
See you next hour, Chris.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 10 in front of 9, Boomer and Geo program. Feel good football Friday. Nice to have you with us. By the number, by the way, the number is 888-808-1019. Just a couple of minutes on the state of college athletics because I actually said this in the postgame show the other night. I feel like at this point in my life, I have a love-hate relationship with it. I love what I do. I love being around the team. I love calling the games. I love the coaching staff. All of that stuff is phenomenal. I am, though, beyond disgusted by this name, image, and likeness, this pay for play, because these aren't, in a lot of cases, we're not looking at college teams anymore. We are looking at, just call it what it is. It's minor league professional basketball, if you will. And it is now become a situation where if you don't have the financial backing, you can be okay, but it is going to be really hard to win at the highest level. And it is getting worse and worse and worse. And just quickly, I have never had, and when I say I have an issue with the name, image, and likeness, for as long as I've been watching sports, I've always thought it was ridiculous that college athletes couldn't get paid to sign autographs, get paid for jersey sales, get paid for t-shirt sales. I agree with all of that. If you want to have an endorsement for a car dealership, great, pay that, wonderful. But this strictly, I'd like $5 million or I'm going somewhere else.
Well, I mean, there was also a ruling in the courts are saying that the schools have to share a certain amount of money with their athletes, and it could be, and it's basically going to be football and college basketball because those are the revenue-generating sports. However, there will be some, I'm sure, some hockey athletes that will benefit from this.
They will.
There'll be some minor league baseball players that benefit from this for some teams that actually do bring in some money. But the interesting thing is that the state of Georgia and Alabama have introduced bills in their state legislature that would separate the college athletes' name, image, and likeness money from having to pay state income tax.
And let's call it what it is, salary. It's not name, image, and likeness.
Well,
it's salary.
But I'm just saying they actually have introduced bills in those two states specifically designed to give the name, image, and likeness money state tax free to the actual athletes that receive them. Now, this hasn't been passed yet, and you know, to me, it feels like it's an unconstitutional thing that you are actually now separating a specific portion of your population to pay less taxes than everybody else in the state. And the reason they're doing this is because Georgia, who had a quarterback by the name of Carson Beck, he just transferred from Georgia to Miami in the state of Florida, where there is no state tax. Because there is no state tax and he's transferring to Florida, essentially paying taxes on that $4 million in the state of Georgia would have cost them about $220,000 because that's their state tax rate. By going to Miami, he keeps that $220,000. So this is why Georgia and Alabama and their state legislatures are trying to finagle this bill through their state and allow the athletes not have to pay tax. That is insane to me.
Yeah.
I mean, because now you are separating those athletes from the people that are living in that state paying those state taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be clear, and I really do believe this too, you know, for years and years, I said all the money I think they should have made outside of their scholarship, which in a lot of cases is worth $250,000 or more, the free meals, the free living expenses. They're on the charters. They get the food. I mean, everything is catered
to them. And you see it up close and personal.
And I'm not saying they shouldn't get all that. That's fabulous. But this idea now that on top of that, and on top of being able to make money in other ways, you can literally dictate what you should just be paid?
Yeah.
Then let's not call it college sports anymore. It's pro sports.
And also, you know that, like, Michigan has a quarterback. I think he received, I don't know, $10 million or is supposed to receive $10 million. He doesn't receive all of that. He'll receive a signing bonus, I'm sure. And then he'll have to live up to certain expectations. And if he doesn't live up to those expectations, guess what? He's not going to get paid, and he'll transfer and go somewhere else and get paid.
Sure.
So
and that the portal's part of this too.
Yeah, of course. The transfer portal is the thing that drives the coaches crazy. But as Rick Pitino said on this radio station, he's not going to be recruiting high school seniors.
So that's right. So that's exactly my point.
He's going to go after other transfer portal people. And by the way, he's got Mike Rapoli behind him putting all the money there. You know, Maryland just got a $10 million donation. I saw their coach, Kevin Willard, talking about it. He didn't mention the guy's name. I'm not sure who gave the money, but somebody gave the football program $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed that money so he could be able to attract the transfer portal players that he would want on his team.
So that,
and
the
other
this
thing that just happened, I'm sorry, the other thing that just happened, which is amazing to me, is that if you go to a JUCO college,
it's not going to count towards your college.
And you want to transfer when you're 20 years old to a college, you'll get a 4 years out of that college.
Do you know how many teams? So we talk about this. This is the one question that has been asked to me over and over the last few weeks. Why didn't it work with Harper and Bailey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Do you know how many teams we've seen that have had numerous players on the floor that are 24 years old?
Well, look at Houston. University of Houston, I think they average 23 and a half years of age.
And so it's hard then, and maybe the high school athlete's going to get completely phased out of
which sucks.
But if you don't have and I'm not taking anything away from St. John's. Don't misunderstand me. What they've done this year has been amazing. Rick Pitino has been great. But if he doesn't have Mike Rapoli as an ATM, does he have this team?
No, not at all.
I mean, and that's if you don't have the billionaire behind you that is just going to fund you, I don't know how you get and do that and get these veteran players
And you think about it, okay, it's great that St. John's plays at Madison Square Garden. That's some of the allure, I'm sure of that. But, you know, if you have a school that is down in Miami, for instance, and they have top-notch facilities and they're willing to pay you, are you going to St. John's or you going to Miami?
Tough sell. Well, I'll tell you. How much are you getting paid?
Well, but here's the deal.
Is the money equal?
In the state of New York, you're paying your state tax.
I understand.
If you're going down to Miami, you're not paying any state. And this is the thing that I've been arguing about for years and years and years and years on this radio station.
You have. You are right.
And I've been talking about this because, you know, players look at their signing bonuses, where they have to pay taxes. Teams are now structuring contracts so the players don't have to pay these state taxes. I'm sure the state legislatures in a lot of these states, Massachusetts, New York, Illinois, Connecticut, New Jersey, are trying to figure out ways to get their hands on that money because that player is playing in that state. I guarantee you they're trying to figure this out.
No question.
And make it almost impossible for this.
All I know is on the college basketball level, about 3, 4, 5 years ago, it felt like things had finally leveled itself out.
Yeah.
And if you recruited well and built a program well, and Rutgers did this, you could compete with anybody. It has now gone the other way again, where the teams that have the most money will get the best players.
I would love to see Juan Soto's tax requirements. I'd love to see what they are. Now, I know they gave him a signing bonus, and that's not going to be taxed by the state of New York, because I'm sure his, I would imagine he files as a Florida state resident, I would think. You know, or is he Dominican?
He is.
All right, he could also, I don't know what that is like, but I know one thing. The reason that Shohei Ohtani did his contract the way he did it, the reason that Luka Doncic is going to lose a lot of money.
Yep, I know.
Is because he's leaving Dallas and Texas and he's going to L.A. So L.A. can't pay him a Supermax, so you lost that money. And if he does resign with L.A., he's going to have to sign, you know, and pay the taxes out there.
I'll take on the other side. We'll take a couple calls on this. Also, something you just brought up about Luka that ties into travel, which is actually very funny that I saw on the show sheet. We'll get to that.